Attention listeners, mark your calendars for Colorado Gives Day on December 10th. Support AfterSight and give to the causes you care about. Go to coloradogivesday.org/organizations/AfterSight between now and December 10th to make your donation.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. I'm Jonathan Price.
I'm Evan Starnes.
And together, we're bringing you news, tech, and information about blind technologies.
Being blind doesn't mean you have to stop living.
We're going to show you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
Oh, man, doesn't that intro just slap? Like, seriously, it's a banger of an intro. But anyway, welcome to another episode of Blind Level Tech. I am your host, of course, Evan Starnes, joined by my co-host, Kelvin Crosby.
Hey, it's so good to see you, even though I can't see you. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood, Evan. And how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Honestly, I'm about to fly out to California this weekend, and I'm going to go meet a friend and try and maybe get her podcast kind of started, because she wants to start her own little, like, We See Different podcast, I think is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And so that should be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Really nervous to go flying for the first time, but...
Really? You've never been flying?
I've been flying plenty, but not by myself.
You know? Well, what airline are you flying out of Denver?
Southwest, always.
Oh, you got to go to the far end of that airport.
Yes. Yeah, Section yeah. C. That'll be fun, but...
I mean, the other thing is, if you use Ira, they can take you all the way to your gate. So,
I might use actually, because Ira is an access location. But yeah, man, how was your weekend?
How was my weekend? What did I do? I don't remember. I feel like it's always one of those things where you're like, you've been going so fast, it kind of was all blurred.
So much is like happening, everything, everywhere, all at once. To quote a movie title,
yeah.
I actually,
I think when you're prepping for a brand new show, it's one of those things like you're doing so much work and all I did this weekend. Actually, now that I think about it, is video edit all the interviews that I've done for the show and all this stuff. Yeah, that's all I did.
What'd you edit with?
So I use a software called Filmora, Wondershare.
Never heard of it. Use Wondershare? Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah. And so so I edit all my videos with that. It's not all that accessible, but because a lot of what I do is through soundtracks anyways. So because that is one thing, and maybe one day we can do a show on how do you video edit without having accessible video editing software. Because
I think...
That is the way to do it is to set a soundtrack in your video recording,
right?
So that way you say
that way you
cut
can edit
here or yeah, so you can add different things. And when you do B roll, you leave the B roll in there, and then once you're all done, you just meet those lines, and
there you go.
But anyways, we're getting really nerdy.
But as we tend to on here. But you were at CSUN recently, you know. CSUN was probably a couple months ago now.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, and you got to see a pretty cool little product that we're going to talk about today. But before we get into it, what, Kelvin, I'll put you in the hot seat first because it's fun. What is your tech piece of the week? Could be an app, a product.
I have one for parents.
Uh-huh.
Parents that are visually impaired that have kids. Because as we're doing here, I'm being notified that my kid wants his iPad unlocked. And I think one of the best things to do is when you put parental controls on, is to use an iPhone or an Apple product to have parental controls. Because VoiceOver works really, really well with it. And so I think today my product is parental controls for the Apple products. So that way, if you want your child to be on the iPad or on their Mac or their iPhone, you have full control over that. And because honestly, this is one of the biggest things for parents that are visually impaired. How do you monitor your kid's activity on
screen
their device?
Time, especially?
Exactly. And so that for me is my thing. There's a couple other products out there, but they got some glitchy areas. And so I tend to just lean on the Apple side of it. So shout out to Apple Parenting Controls. They've done a fairly decent job at making it accessible for visually impaired parents to parent their seeing kids.
So. I'm personally very impressed with the job that they've done. Shout out to Apple for making screen time what it is now, because even I turned off personally for me, like the whole you've been on your phone for 3 hours kind of thing. It'll like log how much, because I don't want to know how much YouTube I've been binge watched. You know, I really don't care. And but at the same time, when it comes to like making sure your kids don't get too much screen time, it's really kind of made the it's brought another selling point to the iPhone, I guess, as it is. So as far as my tech piece of the week, that's a bit of a toughie, because I haven't gotten anything new per se, or I haven't downloaded anything exciting. Actually, no. My tech piece of the week, and this might have been one from a couple weeks ago, is Be My Eyes for Windows. Because it's awesome. We could really stand to do a full, and maybe we should. Maybe we can do a BLT bite on this, actually. Be My Eyes for Windows. Not only does it have like global keyboard shortcuts, basically that'll work anywhere, but it'll allow you to describe, you know, the contents on your screen. You can describe the contents on your clipboard. I think I've got a splinter in my finger. Ouch.
The clipboard?
No, I didn't get a splinter from the clipboard. I think I touched something here, but
I didn't know that when you paste and copy, it gives you a splinter.
Yeah, that would ouch. Yeah, be careful with your clipboards, people. But it's really cool, and all of the great stuff that you would expect from the iOS and Android Be My Eyes app is totally here in Be My Eyes for Windows. So that is my tech piece of the week. Now, Kelvin, you got to check out a really, really cool device, and the device itself is called Glide, or yes. Glidance, I think. My friend introduced it to me as Glidance, and the category that this would fit under, I've heard it called a guide robot.
Yes and no. It's not quite the robot, but if you're new to me, I invent products for visually impaired, mainly for deafblind individuals. So early on, I was developing the Smart Guider, which is a brain and cane technology communication system.
Guide robot, basically.
Yeah. And so it guides you anywhere you want to go. And this literally guide you wherever you wanted to go. The Glidance is a little bit different. And so the Glidance is basically, if you grab a hold of this, think about it like it's almost like a Dyson vacuum, one of them skinny ones, not the
stick vacuums.
Yeah, the stick vacuum with a little bit of a heavier, bigger, with a old school vacuum on the bottom. So if you had an old school vacuum on the bottom with the skinny stick at the top, and then the handle is more like a dog harness.
And so, like a flat, like a suitcase handle.
Yeah, yeah. But it kind of turns in like, your shoveling, your snow shovel handle.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that makes like sense. That. So it's not super like long. It's a little
shorter. it goes up to. Well, no, you can change. I forgot. Yeah.
Well, the handle itself, like, it's not like a super wide one, so it's not going to be sticking out side to side.
Yeah, and also you can adjust it to your height. So if you're needing different height, they have a way to adjust it. But we have to remember what you're seeing right now is a prototype. It is not a product on the market, and so. What's interesting about the Glidance is if you're a guide dog user, this contradicts what you are trained to do. Don't put pressure into when you're being guided. In this case, you put pressure into the guidance as you walk, and then it steers you left and right. So what it does is it's similar to like you know, the old school cars that you, or like semi trucks, you kind of roll the wheels backwards and it'll make it go faster.
Oh yeah, like the toy ones where you pull them back and then they go forward.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. So when you start pushing, it speeds up the wheels to your walking pace.
Oh.
And then it goes just a hair faster to turn you. So it's kind of similar to like a guide dog, if you're used to a guide dog guiding, where if they're going to cross you, they're going to go faster and turn left in front of you to turn you, or sorry, they're going to turn right and turn in front of you. So then that way you go right. It's the same thing. They'll speed up to the left to make you turn left. So it's
interesting.
It's this kind of speed and tracking your speed and avoiding obstacles. And so it is not actually guiding you. You're pushing it to take you to point A to point B. It is just navigating you around obstacles.
But I did hear something in about this, because when I heard about it from a friend, I immediately went to go try and see if I could find some demos of it. Now, unfortunately, right now, there are not any like live demos where you can go and listen to what this thing sounds like, which is sad. Hopefully one will be made eventually. But apparently, you can have this thing learn routes and familiar routes. And that is something that's very similar to a guide dog, because one of the big, huge advantages of having a guide dog is that your guide dog can learn familiar routes that you often travel, and it'll eventually be, you know, it'll just make it more like second nature to travel from point A to point B, because your dog already knows the turns and things that you have to make. And it seems like you might be able to do that with this, but do you, yeah.
because I've done this, it's a lot harder said than done.
I would assume so.
So, but the thing is, yes, you can train the robot to a route on a GPS guide. So, but if they're going beyond to create a memory, a computer vision, and if they're using one of the other apps that does computer vision guidance, then they might be able to pull this off. Because honestly, let's just be straight. The last time I worked on this technology was back in 2019. Technology has evolved.
It's like
dramatically
doubled in evolution.
Not even more than that, because you can do all of this now with an iPhone 14.
Yeah, so, and it's LiDAR, pretty much.
And so that's why, like, it's really, I have my hesitations just knowing the technology, but at the same time, they might have the ability to use computer vision and LiDAR and, like, I mean, we talked to Kelly at Good Maps. Like, if they're able to do certain things similar to that, and you create your own ecosystem around your guidance gain, that would be amazing.
I agree. Because,
but one of the biggest things about this guidance gain to really think about, it is heavy. I mean, people complain about the Simi cane, the lighted blind cane being heavy. This is almost 10 times heavier than that. And so if you have to go upstairs, this isn't going to be a light thing to carry upstairs.
It'll be like carrying a little suitcase upstairs.
Kinda. More like your vacuum. I mean, they got a pretty powerful battery in there.
Right.
So,
yeah. Because I feel like you gave us a pretty good, like, physical description of it. But just to really paint this mental picture in our listeners' heads here, you got this big handle at the top, a stick, like a, you know, kind of like a pole that goes down to the vacuum-shaped bit at the end that looks like an old vacuum with two wheels. And it's heavy. You know, it's got a big chunk in battery in there, mm-hmm. and plus all the other technology. Are there though any like physical controls on the? I mean, I would assume there are. There'd have to be like at least a power button. But like what are the physical controls like on that?
So when I was testing that season, and they might have made adjustments since then, but when I worked tested it, so it had obstacle avoidance, and you literally push it. So you turn it on by pushing it.
Interesting.
And so there is, and then it goes to sleep if it's not moving. And if I can't remember if as you're pushing it forward, if it's charging the battery, I can see that cool. happening.
Like have its own regen braking almost, like a Tesla or an electric car.
Yeah, I can see that.
That'd be interesting.
But I didn't ask that question, so I don't know for sure. I asked a ton of questions. I mean, it was kind of, they were like, how do you know so much? Well, because I've been down this road before.
Because you developed one, you know?
The other part that was really interesting about it was the way, so what's interesting is the two wheels on the bottom are actually fairly big. They're about the size of a lawnmower wheel.
Oh, wow. Bigger than a shopping cart wheel. Holy, wow.
Yeah, it could be a shopping cart. I didn't actually get to feel it, but it's just the amount of contact to the ground it had quite a bit for what it was. What I thought,
what it's doing, yeah,
and like for what I'm like with the Smart Guider, we use one electric skateboard wheel, and then we put a balancer on it, so then you just only have one wheel, and that was all the torque and everything you needed, and then it would balance the handle for itself. So if you let go, it balances.
Oh, that's really cool. But this one is more like two big wheels instead.
Yeah, two big wheels. So, and it's like similar like a vacuum. You push the button to tilt the handle back. So you hit the button down on the vacuum, and that tilts it, puts it from the lock position to be able to use it. So that also turns it on. So there's two parts where you hit the button, you hit the.
Like the foot pedal, presumably foot pedal it'd be a foot pedal because it's like
and
on
then
a vacuum.
Then it tilts the handle back and then you push it. And so, yeah, it's very contradictive to a guide. Like, because I was a guide dog user, and I've been a guide dog user for over 16 years. It's one of those, like, it was one of those, it felt similar to a guide dog, but it contradicted my strength that I put into. Because you don't put strength into your dog. Your dog does the work. So you just hold
you
on
just
for
put
dear
a
life.
Consistent amount of pressure on the harness so you can feel where he's or she is turning.
So in this case, you had to push, and you also it was a little bit tricky. The other thing is at CSUN, and this is I'm gonna kind of blow him out of the water here.
You're in the big exhibit hall too, and it's pretty loud.
Yeah. Well, so the other thing is they had somebody with a remote at CSUN navigating the glidance. And
interesting.
I've been there, and I know why they did it, because they started testing their systems. But there was somebody with a remote providing extra support if needed to override the software.
Yeah, so they really wanted just to show people the concept, I think, really, at this time, it seems
so,
like.
I'll be honest, they're still probably 3 or 4 years away from launching this product to be like a really effective, smart navigation cane.
Well, and especially if you want people to be like, if you expect people to, you know, one, adopt it and implement it into their lives, and really also put out that much, you know, put down that much money for one.
So that's what he was thinking about. It was going to be about $1,000 for one of these things, which I find very difficult to really.
About a phone.
Yeah, that's what he said. It's about a phone cost of a phone. I said, okay, but it's not a cane. So this is something that you have to really think through when you're thinking about this stuff, is this is not a cane. This is a guiding tool. So
yeah, it's like your GPS or
So, and you can't quite use it like a dog because it isn't going to help you go upstairs.
And you can't quite use it like a cane either.
Yeah, and you can't go downstairs. So when the power goes out and you don't have enough resources for that device, do you have your backup with you? Because that is one thing that as visually impaired individuals, you should have a backup. If you have a guide dog, you normally have a cane with you.
Always. Folded always up.
In the back backpack or something.
Absolutely. Or,
because if you go solo and something goes wrong, that's on you.
You might be on your own.
Yeah. And so that's where it's like, all right, if we think through this, you really got to think through what this product is doing. And one thing I have to say about the Glidance, it has figured out the idea of using natural haptics to enhance your navigation. That is one thing it does have going for itself. That's very different than like the Wii Walk and all those other things that are out there, like smart canes. And we'll talk about the Wii Walk another day. Because I think
there's a whole thing that
people need to think through before you invest $800 in a cane there. But with this, you have to really think through on the Glidance, that it does have a way to help you guide naturally. Be guided naturally, like how you should.
As opposed to overly depending on an electronic.
Yeah. So there is that. But if it does fail, it then becomes a weighted guidance tool.
A big rolly paperweight.
Yeah, exactly. So that's something that you have to really think through on progressing in this process. Yes, they say that they're going to make it lighter. Okay.
Yeah.
I know how they would do that. The question is, how much lighter can they make it and make it feasible to be a blind cane? Which I don't see that being possible.
I don't either, really.
I see it being a guiding
device. like a guide rope. I like just to use the term guide robot because that's really what it is. It seems like it is. This is just a guide robot.
Yeah. So you're always going to need an extra cane with you. To really be able to take that to the next level.
So, exactly. So we didn't really get into like the technology that's in it too much here, but I mean it's like what we've seen before, but you know, it's the way it's implemented is pretty clever, using sonar technology I hate to say that. I don't know. I don't have a better analogy, but like what bats use, bouncing a sound off of an object to hear its echolocation. It also does have cameras. I think it's got LiDAR in it too. And of course, the haptics abilities.
I don't know if it's using sonar. I'd actually be surprised if it is.
From the video I watched, it does. In combination with everything else.
Yeah, if they're using 3D sonar, I can see that working because that actually came out back in 2017, 3D sonar, which is actually a really powerful tool or technology that it takes sound waves and it makes sound images. So you can take it's pretty cool.
That sounds cool.
So, I mean, as a whole, the technology behind it. Is cutting edge. The engineer guy that's behind it, I got to meet him. He's a robot designer and programmer and electrician type guy, and him and I spent quite a bit of time talking. He's the chief technology officer there. The CEO, he's visually impaired himself.
Nice.
I forget what his name is right now, but him and I talked the year before and talked about the Smart Guider, and before he came to really start building the product. And it seemed like right after him and I talked, he launched his company and next thing you know, built the Glidance. And my hat's off to him for taking this on, because this isn't a cheap endeavor.
No, it's not.
Really,
it's
take actually, this thing along.
It's what could be, if you want it to be that way, could be a groundbreaking product that could potentially, if done well, change a lot of lives navigationally. Really, yeah. Navigationally. I mean,
well, there's a whole adoption component, and that's going to be the biggest hurdle that they're going to face.
Yeah, so they have a pricing model, actually. Do you? I don't remember it offhand, but I know you, right now, if you want one of these in a couple of years or when they release it, you can put some money down.
Yeah, knowing the technology, knowing the liability that they're going to have to go through, there's some concerns there. But if read the fine print. Read the fine print. Yeah. Like, if they don't come through on it, you get your money back, or
is it in their pockets?
Yep. So that's something that you gotta really be clear on what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a lot of money.
Yeah,
like for what it is, but it could be pretty cool. And I really think I'm curious to see, you know, where it goes in a couple of years. And now, while it totally for me, it just completely changes the whole concept of what I define as a cane, a navigation aid, any of that kind of stuff. Cause I'm, you know, when I think of, you know, when I'm sure a lot of us, you know, out there, when you think of navigating as a blind or low vision person, you think cane or guide dog, or, you know, in some cases sighted guide, whatever. Yeah. But I guess the concept of a guide robot is something that maybe we should keep our finger on the pulse of, and maybe it could become a new category of technology here in the assistive technology realm, I guess. But
yeah, well, IBM coming out with something as well. Same thing, Microsoft as well. So this is the only one that's not like backed by a big name
big tech
company.
Giant.
There's a couple of Chinese companies that have already built guiding robots. So, I mean, this isn't new. It's just a matter of, can you get it adopted into the blind community? I mean, this is something that I'm facing with the Simi cane.
Can you get people to adopt your Simi cane?
Exactly. And I think it's enough familiarity to what we understand as visually impaired individuals with the Simi cane, and it enhances what we currently have.
And I would say this robot does kind of the same thing in a way. It might take some people to get used to it, or some time for people to get used to it.
Yep. So
absolutely,
yeah, but it's an interesting journey, and it's an interesting process. And it tell you it's exciting to see this happening. It's exciting to see that there is somebody really coming through aggressively on it. I do know he has already raised probably about $3 million already behind it. So,
oh my goodness,
yeah,
that's a good chunk of change there, yeah. You know. And I guess best of luck to this dude. I hope this product really does take off, and I'm very much excited to, you know, get one in my hands and mess around with it and try it out. But there's another thing that I'm actually really excited to get into my hands and eventually into my face, actually.
The sandwich of the week.
Yeah. So we were talking about, well, both the Smart Guider, and of course, really the main focus on this episode is the Glidance, which for whatever reason made me think of sliders, as random as it sounds. But my sandwich of the week this week is a buffalo chicken slider from Arby's.
They have the meat.
Yeah.
You know? Hope we won't get in trouble for saying that.
I had that when I was in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it kind of disappointed me. I was very disappointed. Yeah. It was missing some flavor. I mean,
Arby's. But, I'm partial to them. I'll eat them if it's offered to me. I'll eat it. But I'm not like.
It's not a terrible meal.
No.
Yeah.
But their sliders are absolute. At least I very much did enjoy their buffalo chicken slider. It was the right size, and it was nice and covered in sauce, and it was crispy. So, yeah, very enjoyable for me. But, Kelvin, what is your sandwich of the week?
So I'm going to go on the breakfast side of things today. And I'm going to go with Wendy's. So Wendy's just came out with their croissant sandwich with bacon, with a spicy sausage and egg, and with this like creamy cheese that they put on it with. And I tell you, it's pretty sweet. Like it is good. So
all you had to say is bacon.
Absolutely. Yep. So,
well, thank you all for joining us today for another episode of Blind Level Tech. If you'd like to check out the Glidance, there are some videos talking about it, and there's some coverage on it out there. So we will drop links to what we have in the show notes, so you can go check that out for yourselves. Our Audio Trekkers hike actually is in less than a month, and we do have some people registered. I'm not going to say who's on what team, but for those who aren't aware yet, we have basically a team system for those who register for the hike. You can pick a podcast to be a part of, basically, as their team. And the more people that get signed up for that podcast, the more money they'll have towards a special incentive. And we're not going to say what that is. But what we will say is go to aftersight.org/hike, join the Audio Trekkers, and pick BLT as your team.
Exactly, because we're the best team out there.
Yep, we sure are. Well, Kelvin, it's been a pleasure as always. Thank you for co-hosting this with me every single week. Thank you all so much for listening. My name is Evan Starnes, joined by Kelvin Crosby.
Go live beyond your challenges and plug in your device.